Hello, this is Ryan Schmidt. Thanks so much for joining us for the One Desire Church podcast. We appreciate all of you from around the world who are participating. And if you'd like to give, we receive financial gifts at our website, onedesirechurch.org. Enjoy today's podcast.
You know those mornings when you wake up and you know there's one thing that you want to wear? And then you sort of figure out everything around it. I know at least the ladies know what I'm talking about, and I don't want to leave out the guys, but you know. So this morning I knew I was supposed to wear this jewelry, and a couple years ago my grandma died, and my mother-in-law gave me money, and she said, buy something with this to remember your grandma. And that's still like one of the most thoughtful things anyone has ever done for me. And so I went to the Bluebonnet Festival. She died in March, the Bluebonnet Festival's in May, and there was this booth of Baltic Amber. I love amber. And so I picked out this set, and I don't know, I knew I was supposed to wear it today. Because we're talking about receiving, and receiving that money to get that gift in honor of my grandma from my mother-in-law was really, really awesome. Thank you guys. And it can be hard to receive. I struggle with receiving. I really struggled with receiving a while ago until I had Creedon when I was 21. And, you know, having a baby sort of just renders you kind of unable to do all the things you used to do. And you have to receive from people. And then when I had Amara, I had to receive even more because of what went on with her. And so I had to have someone watch my little 15-month-old and, you know, leave Creedon. And there was just so many things. And I had to just learn to just receive. And I read something this morning in my little devotional book, and it really, I thought it was pretty awesome. Blessed are they who receive. Receiving at the purest level is about being open and receptive to your true nature. It's not about things, it's about you. It's not about having or getting, it's about being. To know who you are without conditions or pretenses requires genuine receptivity. It's about self-acceptance. Receiving is a spiritual practice. Every time you affirm, I am open and receptive to my highest good, you're cultivating a state of basic openness. I know there's a lot there, but that idea of being open and trusting that we are going to be receiving our highest good. And I wanna just this morning ask Jesus to help us be able to do that, to be willing to be open to receiving our highest good. Because that's hard. A lot of times we either feel like, oh, I'm not worthy of it, or I don't even want to try to see good in this, or whatever. And the first step is willingness, and the second step is receiving. And this ended with, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. When the thinker is ready, the idea appears. When the artist is ready, the inspiration appears. When the servant is ready, the purpose appears. When the athlete is ready, the performance appears. When the leader is ready, the vision appears. When the lover is ready, the partner appears. When the disciple is ready, God appears. When the teacher is ready, the student appears. And I love that. And Jesus, I thank you this morning that when we are ready, we can receive. And we start right now with asking you to, number one, just give us the willingness to be open to receiving. To start there, to just even be willing. Say we're willing to receive. We open ourselves up to receive. And then even beyond that, to receive our highest good in this situation. Whatever that situation is, we know it's going to be our highest good because it's coming from you. And we open ourselves up to receive that. And we know that when we are ready, what we need will appear. Whether that's emotionally or spiritually or physically. And we thank you for that. Right now we receive this cracker and this juice. We're reminded of your gift of love. And we say thank you. Amen.
So much to be thankful for. Let's continue with our identity statement together here this morning. I am not what's been done to me, but what Christ has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Christ has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Christ, and Christ determines what I do. Thank you very much. And we are talking about connections. And specifically this morning, we're going to talk about an uninvited connection. Now, first we're going to take a look at the uninvited connections that God has placed within us. We've looked at these in the past couple weeks. It's important to recognize that as humans, as children of God, we have the capacity to grow and to change through the highs in our life and the lows in our life. And it's normally the highs that we're familiar with and the lows that we're familiar with that really bring that biggest change to us. The author C.S. Lewis said that pain was God's megaphone to us. Pain, suffering, things that hurt, things that are not easy, pain, those things that are uninvited, the unexpected in our lives, a megaphone. But also love can be an unexpected and an uninvited connection that changes us. We don't always look for love. How many of us have been surprised by love between us and someone we were dating, engaged, married to? We were surprised by that love, and we weren't necessarily looking for it or trying to invite it into our lives. So we're going to talk a little bit about those things that are sometimes below the surface that we don't always see, but that do have an effect on us. Some of the things that God has placed within us, and we didn't necessarily seek it out or look for it, God's kingdom has been placed within each of our hearts. Some of us didn't even know what it looked like or what it was, and then we realized, wow, God had placed his kingdom within us, his spirit, that God's self is within each of us, that faith, hope, and love are inside of us, that rivers of living water are inside of us, that life and light are inside of us. And it's not something that I have to do to somehow secure more and more of all of these uninvited gifts of connection that God has given us, but it's already there. Can you look at your neighbor to your left or to your right and say, it's already there? It's already there. The deal is that I have to stop and I have to intentionally connect to it. And as I connect to it, then I start to draw from it. And what's beautiful is the more that I draw from something, another way I can say it is the more that I see it in the world around me, the more that I see it in the world around me. Have you ever had that experience where you start to recognize things more and more in your life because you noticed it? Creedon and I were celebrating his birthday on Friday. Friday was his birthday. And as we were coming home from a Starbucks run, father-son celebration of his birthday, I looked in the rearview mirror of the car. And I saw somebody that I recognized. I saw somebody who was driving home, and as they were driving, I recognized their car. Now, there are tons of cars out there, but when you see a car that you've seen before and you recognize the person, the outline of them in the driver's seat, you start to, oh, hey, maybe there are more people out there on the roads that I'm missing, and I haven't recognized that they're there. And so Creedon and I, on the way home, are just looking around like, okay, who else is out on a Friday evening coming home
and we don't want to miss seeing them. So the next time you pull up to a stoplight, look around and see, okay, who might be nearby me as you are also stopped with others at a stoplight. There are those moments that we find ourselves recognizing something. Here is a picture of Creedon celebrating his 12th birthday. Now, he did a birthday cake the way I would do a birthday cake today, and that's a donut. Yeah. Donuts for our birthday. I asked Creedon Friday evening, I said, how do you feel being a year older? What does it feel like not to be 12 or 11 anymore? What does it feel like to be 12 years old? And his response to me was, feels the same. Yeah. Feels the same. We always get that question. When you're younger, you get it. Now, as you get older, psychologically, things start to change and shift a little bit. This year, I turned 40. It's not as traumatic for me turning 40. I'm not as nervous. I'm not resisting this uninvited change and connection in my life, another year older. But 30 was really tough for me. There was something about leaving my 20s and entering into my 30s that it was an unwelcomed reminder that I am getting older and I'm no longer a kid. There was a lot of change that took place in that time span, my late 20s, early 30s, and it wasn't easy for me to go through that change. How many of us, when our birthday rolls around, is it a welcomed connection with our physical mortality? I have one less year to live. The older you get, the more aware you are with that connection to life. And we're also connected to the circle of life that begins and ends physically, bios, our physical life. We're reminded of that. It's an unwelcomed, necessarily, connection that we don't always think about, but it can always kind of be there as a reminder. There are those moments in our lives when we don't necessarily welcome a connection, but that connection is there. I am connected to Creedon. I welcome that connection. Do I welcome a connection of there's one more year that has passed and I'm reminded of that with my son? Sometimes I get reflective. Sometimes I get introspective. Sometimes I am aware of those connections that I have and those connections that I haven't necessarily invited into my life. Can y'all tell me what this is? Bug zapper. It's summertime in Texas. We've had a lot of rain. Our bug zapper is doing really well in the backyard. Bug zappers were first patented back in the 1930s, and the goal was to eliminate the bugs that are so much an annoyance around your home, and they have been very popular ever since, especially here in rural communities where they don't spray for bugs like they do in cities. What you do is you put it out there. The train is an uninvited connection for us. We're connected to Bertram. We're connected to the train tracks. It's all a connection. We hear it. We're reminded of those connections that we have. God bless those people who are going to burn it this morning. There are times in our lives where we can put out a bug zapper and we are being intentional about those connections that we have on the inside and those connections on the outside. But then there's sometimes where there may be that black light, there may be that light that is drawing things towards us that we're not even aware of. Have you ever been around somebody and you're like, wow, their energy is way off today? I've had those days where I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Wow, they're way off. Have you ever had somebody in your life who, wherever they go, whatever they do, there always seems to be an accident waiting for them. We call those people accident prone. They're the folks that are always hurting themselves. Then we have those kids, those children in our lives that we look at and we say, they are always stirring the pot. They're always agitating. They're always getting things rolling in a negative direction. I want you to think about all of those things as a bug zapper that's drawing towards you. Sometimes we don't always recognize that the energy, that the life, that the light and the love that we put forth is going to come back to us. It attracts towards us. Pop culture calls that in philosophy the law of attraction. It's a belief that positive and negative thoughts bring positive or negative experiences into a person's life. Read it with me. The belief is based on the idea that people and their thoughts are both made from pure energy, and that through the process of like energy attracting like energy, a person can improve their own health, wealth, and personal relationships. Now, there are some people out there who they're so bent on this idea of positive thinking, positive thinking, positive thinking, positive thinking, positive thinking. And it drives me crazy because I get to a place where I'm like, okay, you just gotta rest. You just gotta let it be. But there's truth, and they've experienced it in their own lives, where when you are experiencing the negative, and we could use the term sin, where they're constantly missing the mark in their own head. I'm never good enough. I'm always failing. God's love is not enough for me or for those people in my life. What happens? They start to put that light forth, and what does it draw towards themselves? It draws everything that they are going to regret and not be happy with in their lives. Jesus puts it this way in his gospel chapter, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Would you all read this with me? Jesus says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Okay, stop right there. Where do we hear? Where do we hear? We hear with our ears, and it goes into our minds. Okay? But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop with what's going on in our minds. It's not just the power of positive thinking and energy, but he says that it needs to go somewhere else. Where does he take it? He says, hearing them and then doing them. The word that Jesus uses for doing is the idea of an actor or an actress. Someone who memorizes a script, has their lines down perfectly, and then is able to live it out and act it out on stage in such a way that people look at and marvel and say, they fully are embodying the character. Stop for a moment. Who is your favorite actor today? Do you have a favorite actor? Your favorite actor, favorite actress, that person that you watch them fully live out the script, and they live it out in a beautiful, powerful, and magnificent way. That's what Jesus is talking about. Let's read that again. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and lives them out and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descends, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, okay, where's it going? I've got some power of positive thinking to a certain extent. It comes in, but is the life taking place in flesh and blood? Jesus goes on. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus gives us a picture that today in our world that pop culture is really kind of hungry for. What do I need to do in my life so that I can experience the success that I want to experience in my life? The way Scripture puts it is, God knows the dreams that He has planned for us, the dreams that He has seen for each of us. But sometimes we see those dreams, we receive those dreams, but we don't live those dreams out. And it takes courage, takes some faith, takes a little bit of elbow grease to stick with those dreams that God has placed within each of our hearts. It's not always easy. Sometimes we want God's grace and blessing and favor and love to be in our lives in a way that means that I can just sit back on my back porch, put my feet up, and sip a glass of iced tea and never have to think again or act again. But the reality is God has given us energy, physical life, and God has given us the ability to be creative and to see things with our mind's eye and to be a part of engaging the pain and the suffering and the lack in the world around us and bring the hope of God's light and life and love to it. And Jesus tells us that there are those moments in our lives when we just have it going in one ear and out the other, and we miss the great privilege to actually live it out in our lives. Sometimes we want it to be magic, though. Sometimes we want it to just, where's the pixie dust that I can sprinkle? What's the magic phrase, abracadabra? How can I make this happen? J.K. Rowling, I love this, author of books talking about magic and spells and able to make things happen without putting the work and the time and the energy into it. What is her response to the question of, do we need more magic in the world? Read this quote with me. She says, "We do not need magic to change the world. We carry all the power we need inside ourselves already. We have the power to imagine better." And I can amen that really hard, because that is so important for us to recognize that God has given each of us the tools and the abilities to move forward as we say yes to the gifts that God has placed within us. God invites each of us not try to find some easy way out, but to absorb, to receive the connection that's deep down inside, and not to allow those sometimes unwelcomed, uninvited connections to sidetrack us. Have you ever been sidetracked by a connection in your life? I have. There's a support group that I lead once a week, and at this support group, it's for people who have had loss in their life, lost a loved one. And this past week, one of the questions that we talked about around the table with 10 or so individuals was, how do you come to a place of knowing that you've accepted the loss of someone you love in your life? We had a lot of different answers to that question. It kind of causes a little bit of a pause. I never want to accept the loss of someone in my life, because I don't want to forget them. I don't want to forget the love. But the word acceptance doesn't mean that we forget or that we turn our backs on the love or that we forget the loss. Acceptance means that we are changing who we are in this moment to relate, changing in this moment who we are to relate to that loss. And one of the participants said, "Right now, everything that I see through the loss. It's a filter. Everything that I see in the world, everything that I experience, I see it through the filter of that pain that I've experienced in my life, that unwelcomed connection, that reminder that I am human and I am frail, and there are other people who are human and frail, and one day our birth dates will be concluded with a death date. They said, I know that I will have accepted the loss when I no longer see everything through the filter of that loss in my life. Unwelcomed connection, a connection with pain and sorrow and suffering. One day, this individual lost their loved one several years ago, and they still recognize that they see life through that pain, that unwelcomed connection in their life. It's important that we recognize that there are good things in our life that become a filter, and that we see everything through. And then we eventually gravitate towards those things that we see everywhere. We see pain and suffering, heartache. The question is, when we gravitate, when we move towards it, when we are sending out the light, are we going with the light of Christ that we've received in our hearts? Are we going with the life that God has given us through His Word that we have engrafted, absorbed into who we are, and now we're living it out around us? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the author Paul is talking about those moments in our lives that we are intentional about the connections around us and focusing on those connections that bring us happiness, bring us life, bring us fulfillment and fullness to us. Would you all read these words with me? Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There are those moments in our lives when that law of attraction, what I am putting out into the world, what I'm willing to share and give, is going to bring back so much more than what we could have ever imagined. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. This morning, I want to give each of us an opportunity to just pause and recognize that there are some uninvited connections in our life. There are some things in our life that we haven't necessarily chosen. And that filter may be how we're looking at the world today. We may be looking at the world through our pain, through loss, through suffering, through a feeling of lack. I'm not enough. I don't have enough. I can't achieve. I can't be successful. God's dreams will never really be good enough for me to experience. I'm not good enough to experience them. It's important we recognize those uninvited connections that are changing the way we see the world, we see ourselves, and we see God. So I want to invite us to just close our eyes for just a moment. Creator God, we are human, and our experiences in life affect us. You know that because that's how you created us. We ask that you would help us to be sensitive to what those filters are in our life, those ways that we see the world. We thank you that time does heal all wounds, and we trust that in time those filters that were uninvited will go by the wayside. We want to be not just hearers of the word, but also doers, those who are living out what it means to be a child of God and that deep, full life of Jesus within each of our hearts. Thank you. We just acknowledge. And as we acknowledge those filters, we We don't fight against them. We don't kick against them. But we acknowledge that you will continue your good work in us as we give ourselves a little bit of space, and we're gentle and kind with ourselves in the process that we're experiencing. We thank you for the helpers in our life, those people, those books, those friends, the wisdom that informs us and helps transform us and step forward even when it's hard, it's not easy to do so. We thank you so much for this. I'd like to give each of us an opportunity to just think in this moment, what does it mean for me today? What does it mean for me today to live out this idea of sowing and reaping? This idea of the law of attraction. What I put out is what will come back. And is there something in your life that you, in this moment, would like to just highlight as, this is what I'd like to reap generously. This is what I'd like to reap generously. In my life. The garden of who I am. Whatever that is. Whatever you're identifying, whether it's physical resources or emotional health and well-being, mental ability, connectedness, deeper connection in relationships, whatever that area of, I'd like to reap in a generous way here in my life. I'd like to give us just an opportunity to express to God how we're willing to sow that into other people's lives, how we're willing to share, how we're willing to put that energy out into the universe and to affect people, situations, and places. Creator God, we thank you for creating in us a desire to see good take place in our lives and in the lives around us. Show us where you would have us to sow. Give us the courage to sow. Give us the energy. Help us to carve out the time in our lives to sow. We thank you that we can't outgive your Spirit. And so as your Spirit continues to flow into us, we have the opportunity to share and to give and to put out into the universe, into our relationships, our families, our schools, our community, our workplaces, all that you have already shared with us. We thank you for cultivating good in our hearts today. We thank you for the opportunity to share from that bounty, that abundance in our lives. Help us to remember that whatever we sow generously, that we will also reap generously in our lives. Pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. If you'd like more information about One Desire Church in Bertram, Texas, please visit onedesirechurch.org.